We welcome the presence of God, who commanded faithful people throughout the ages to love God, love neighbor, and love ourselves. We welcome the presence of the Spirit, which moves us to love our neighbor through the hearing and understanding of their diverse voices and languages.
Let us love God, our neighbor, and ourselves.
You may be seated. The one thing that binds us all together is our humanness, our challenges, our failures, our missteps, our foibles, our brokenness. Together, we can confess those ways in which we failed to live up to our own values, ask for forgiveness, and learn from those mistakes in order to become the person God has created us to be. Together, we take a moment of silence to confess those things that in our humanness we have done that have not shown love of God, neighbor, or self.
Embracing the full forgiveness that is ours through the grace, the mercy, and the love of Jesus Christ, I invite you to say these wonderful words from Colossians chapter 12.
Please pray with me. Prepare our hearts, O God, to accept your word. Silence in us any voices but your own, so that we may hear your word and also do it, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Old Testament reading comes from the book of 1 John, chapter 5, and the first 6 verses. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the parent loves the child. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this, that we obey his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God conquers the world, and this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. Who is it that conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with the water only, but with the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one that testifies, for the Spirit is the truth. Here ends the reading of the Old Testament.
Thank you.
Thank you. The very quiet presence of the Spirit. The reading from the New Testament this morning is from John's chapter 15. You heard the first verses last week, and we continue this week with the 9th verse through the 17th verse. Jesus speaks and says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. And if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now I've said these things to you so that you may find the joy in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And no one has greater love than this, to lay down his life for one's friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command you. I don't call you servants any longer, because the servant doesn't know what the master is doing, but I've called you friends because I have made known everything that I have heard from my Father. You do not choose me, but I choose you. And I appointed you to go and to bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. And I'm giving these commands so that you may love one another. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord lasts forever. Thanks be to God. How many of you remember the commercial for Facebook? It's been maybe a couple of years ago, where the lady is taping her friends' names to the wall, literally, sticking the names up there. And her friends are saying, "But that's not how you do friends on Facebook." Well, Facebook friendship is, well, Facebook friendship. And yet for all of the junk that I think we find on Facebook these days, one of the really wonderful things that it has done is that it has been able to connect or reconnect us with family and with friends. Conversing by Facebook, text, email, though, can give us a false sense, I think, of connection, I guess. However, that depends on your definition of friendship. You may like that distant kind of friendship. But I think we get these sort of little sound bites, B-Y-T-E-S, and sometimes they bite, B-I-T-E, when we don't mean them to. For instance, you send something to someone and you put it all in capital letters because you're so excited about it, and you get a return email that says, "Why are you so angry?" It's like, oh, have you ever done that? Yeah, we kind of use that capitalization for every kind of emotion that there is. Well, sometimes Facebook friendship isn't all it's meant to be. And you know, since Katie and Ryan have moved to California, we've had to settle for FaceTiming. At least we can see them, but when those little hands reach out to hug you, or when she blows a reverse kiss, then you really want to feel them. You want to touch them. And so, you know, we'll take FaceTiming if that's what we get. And obviously, Katie and Ryan and Gary and I and Molly and baby love, we're all friends. But when Jesus asks us about being friends, what does that look like in our day and in our time? How is it that we lay down our lives for one another? I think in Jesus' heart and mind, laying down our lives requires communication. It requires conversation. It requires community. And it requires that we get connected beyond that sort of surface that we often get in our communications these days. In a word, Jesus says friendship is about relationship. And it's the kind of relationship that leads us to love deeply. Love deeply. It's that kind of love that we can't manufacture, we can't manipulate it, we can't wish it, we can't will it. It comes, that kind of love, out of the deep conversations that we have with our Lord, asking the Lord to help us love as He loves. Laying down our lives for one another leads to this genuine, heartfelt caring for one another. During our continuing education event this past week, we read a book that is entitled The Turquoise Table. How many of you have heard of it? It is a book that is inspiring this whole movement called The Front Yard People. It's fascinating. But I think for me, it was what I call a soul revival. It was a bit of water that I needed for a dry soul. And I hope what you hear today will be just a little bit of water for you and maybe an inspiration to pick up the book yourself. And while the scriptures in the book are undergirded by the passages, particularly from the 12th chapter of Romans, and more specifically, the 13th verse that says, "Take every opportunity to open your life and your home to others." This book is about Christian hospitality and friendship from the moment you open the cover of the book till the moment you close it. And so today, I could pick apart this John passage line by line, but honestly, in the end, what we are asking of the Spirit, what we have asked in our prayer for illumination, is that the Spirit help us discern how it is that we are to lay down our lives for one another in our day and in our time. And there's a chapter in this book that points right back to John's gospel reading for today. And so I want to share some of that with you. It is with humor and it is with grace that the author, her name is Christian Snell, she shares this story of her crazy life and how she was yearning to have connection and community again, inviting her neighbors and friends to join her at her turquoise table, one that would just happen to be in their backyard, not being used. She called in friends and said, "What color should I paint it?" They said, "Turquoise. I'm going to put it in my front yard." They said, "You're crazy," and she did it anyway. And what has happened with that turquoise table is that she has begun to establish friendships and ministry and love and safety and connections and community, and in particular, Christian community that draws people together well beyond the bonds and the bounds of the church walls. The book itself is filled with these beautiful pictures and the most delicious recipes. It is insightful. It is inspirational. And I think that the turquoise table strikes home when it comes to understanding this meaning that Jesus has when he talks about friendship and about community as people who were once strangers and who had now have become friends in Christ. As they gather around, in this particular case, the turquoise table, we know it could be anywhere. But as they gather, sometimes for coffee, sometimes for prayer, sometimes for solitude, and quite often just for laughter. On a side note, I think it's neat that Kristen and her family are members at Covenant Presbyterian Church in Austin. So we have a fellow Presbyterian here. But the book, the chapter in this book that just kept drawing me in, is titled, "Gather Small, Love Deep." Gather small, love deep. And it begins with this Irish quote, "It is in the shelter of each other that people live." In this particular chapter, she talks about one of her 80-year-old neighbors named Elizabeth and her dog Clyde, who share the same cul-de-sac with Kristen, her husband, and their four children. Their acquaintance began, I have a feeling like most of ours do, on trash day. They're wheeling the trash cans out and they wave to one another and say, you know, a little hello. And then sometimes she's walking Clyde and they may look and say, "Oh, cute dog." Sometimes, she said, Elizabeth would just stop and have just sort of a short, casual conversation. This was 3 years ago. And now, quite often, she says, Elizabeth just stops by and sits down at the turquoise table, sometimes when Kristen or others are out there, sometimes when there's no one out there. It has become a gathering place. Kristen says, sitting at her turquoise table, she began to notice that there was this sort of rhythm and this cadence to her neighbors. And in particular, there was this other woman who was walking dogs, her dogs, one day. And they did the same thing. They shared these little pleasantries, these hellos, "How are you? My goodness, it's hot out here today." And then she said, one day that person wasn't walking her dogs. The rhythm broken. Well, it turns out that the owner of the dogs had broken her leg, and a friend had volunteered to be the dog walker. In this noticing, Kristen said, this simple act of compassion for a friend, she said, for whatever reason, it created a heart connection with me, with a total stranger. A simple act of caring for a neighbor. Does noticing matter? Kristen asked herself one day, it just seems so passive. And I think that she is a whole lot like many of us. She struggles with that concept of doing versus being. Many of us, we sort of default to that I gotta do mode instead of I gotta be mode. It's kind of like I create busyness, like providing the whole neighborhood with dog biscuits, when one dog biscuit probably would have been fine. And she says, you know what, with the magnitude of problems in this world, were these small gatherings at this little table, did they really make a difference? Slowing down often and long enough to notice that someone is missing can oftentimes feel like a waste of time. We're so busy. I think I remember that. I remember that Kathy was at church last week, but I'm not sure. Do we notice who sits beside us week in and week out? And when they're not there, do we let them know we miss them? Kristen said she finally let her heart catch up with her head, and she realized that just that small gesture of placing a table, picnic table, in her front yard was an embracing of her faith. She had prayed and prayed and prayed about how to get connected to her neighbors and her friends around her. And the crazy lady put a turquoise table out in her front yard. And she said, you know what? I realized it was a gift from God. It was God's way of saying, this is one of the ways that you can embrace friends in Christ. It's one of the ways that you can love neighbors until they become friends in Christ. Friends that we will notice from time to time need to have a prayer said to them, or maybe need a listening ear, a casserole, and I miss you, or are you okay? God was teaching her the ministry of presence. When you show up, I work through you, God says. And not just Kristen. When we show up and when we notice, it matters and God works through us. Noticing me, the Lord says, matters. And noticing others matters to me. It leads to that kind of friendship where we do lay down our lives for one another. It is that loving so deeply that it can only be with the love of the Lord. The ordinary moments began to matter. Gathering small and loving deep matter. It just matters. And I believe that as Jesus gathered his band of disciples, small gathering around him, and told them that what it meant to lay down his life for one another, he was talking about friendship that loves deeply, friendship that is more than just a wave in the driveway, friendship that is a heart connection with one another. My calling, Jesus says to the disciples, is to talk as you talk. It is to walk where you will walk, so that when you cry out my name, Jesus, my friend, I need you. Jesus, my friend, thank you. Jesus, my friend, I know you understand. That kind of friendship, because we have walked and we have talked in the lives and the shoes of others. By the way, Kristen, noticing her 80-year-old neighbor Elizabeth and all of those other dog walkers in the neighborhood, it led her to set out a couple of bowls of water for the dogs. A simple, compassionate act. But it was water for the soul, water for the body. Our Lord pulls no punches at all about what it means to love as a friend. Greater love, he says, has no one but to lay down his life for one's friends. Our Lord laid down his life for us and gifted us with salvation. Jesus defines friendship. He initiates friendship, and then he, Jesus, calls us friends. And it is in that emulation of him as friend that he says, you become not my servants, but you become friends. And if we are Jesus' friends, we love the way he loves. Nothing in the gospel says that the disciples or any of us deserve that kind of love, and yet Jesus loves us anyway. It's been said that friendship seems small when you hold it in your hands, but when you release it like a gift, like an offering, we see just how extravagant and how hallowed friendship really is. Not about instant gratification, not about quick fixes. It is about building community by investing in the lives of those who are right there beside us, in front of us, behind us. Eugene Peterson says, building that type of Christian friendship is a long obedience in the same direction. And that direction, friends in Christ, leads all of us to the foot of the cross, laying down our lives, giving thanks to the one who gave his life for us. Love is a call for a Christian community, and something should change within us when Jesus calls us to be friends. And so this morning, as we gather small around this table, the Lord is present. And may we be present enough to notice. And in our noticing, may we continue to learn how to love deep. To love deep with the love of the Lord. For it is in the shelter of the Lord that you and I live. Amen. In our standing, in our saying, in our hearts, may we believe the faith that we affirm together this day. Do you believe in God the Father? Believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
I believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He descended into heaven. He sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe God in God, the Holy Ghost? Hospitality, friendship, a warm welcome, all of those things are about generosity. When we welcome each child of God into the life of this church, we extend Christian hospitality and friendship. And it is our gifts that help this grace-filled ministry to flourish and to grow and to give glory to God. So today, may we gather all of our gifts together and may we offer them, release them with thanksgiving to God. May we gather God's tithes and our offering.
Oh.
Let us pray. Take our gifts, God, and weave a song of healing for the broken, of nourishment for the hungry, of hope for those who despair, and peace for those torn by violence. We sing our praises as we offer our treasures, as well as our hearts, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
The Lord says, come to the table. It is a visible reminder of my love that is so deep for you, a love that I willingly give for you. Come to the table and bring others with you. At the table, you are invited to bring the mundane, the ordinary, those everyday moments of your life. Come to the table and bring others with you. At the table, I am present, and you are present with me. My heart is open. So come to the table and let your heart be opened also. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right, and it is our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, God, our Creator. You have given us life, and you've given us a second birth through your Spirit. Once we were no people, but now we are your people. You claimed Israel as your chosen nation. You raised up the church as a witness to the resurrection, breathing into it your life and your power. And from worlds apart, you gathered us together. And when we go astray, Lord, you welcome us home. And always, your love, your friendship has been steadfast. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with the choirs of angels and with all of the faithful of every time and place who forever sing to the glory of your name. You are holy, God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. In love with you and in compassion for all, he healed and he taught, he challenged, he comforted, he welcomed, and he saved. He formed a community, promising to be with his disciples wherever two or three are gathered and sending them on this mission of hope and healing in the world. He trusted his life to you, and he went freely to his death so that the world could be set free from suffering and sin. You raised him from death, and you raise us to live a new life with him. In the power of the Holy Spirit, you send us out to make disciples as he commanded. And so, remembering your mighty and your merciful acts, we take the bread and the wine from the gifts that you have given us, and we celebrate with joy the redemption of our Lord. And we proclaim the one crucified and risen as we say what is the great mystery of our faith. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts of bread and cup, so that the bread we break and the cup that we bless may be the communion of the body and the blood of Christ today. Today you have called us together to be church, and you are with us now at your table in this one loaf and this common cup. So let your Spirit empower the life that we share and ignite our witness in the world. Give us the strength to serve you until the promised day of resurrection, when with the redeemed of all the ages, we will feast with you at your table in glory. We ask that you hear our prayers offered this morning, that we may renew our commitment to love one another as you have loved us. We pray for the end of bitterness and violence in any form. Bless the peacemakers. We pray for effective, compassionate care for all persons. Bless all who work to bring that care. We pray for the feeding of the hungry, the clothing of the unclothed, the housing of homeless, reformation of prisoners, rehabilitation, Lord, of all who need it. Bless those who work and who have dedicated their lives to these brothers and sisters. We pray for the provision of systems of justice that they may be fair. We ask that you bless those who dispense that judgment with your insight and with your integrity and with your grace. And Lord, we pray for the church, for all denominations, large and small, and particularly for our small gathering here. We pray that we will love deeply one another. Bless all in worship, in fellowship, in service, and all, Lord, who work to make this small community of faith a deep well of your grace. We ask this in the name of the greatest gift you have given us, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day. Is present. Be present to the Lord.
Let us break bread together on our knees. Let us break bread together on our knees. When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun, O Lord, have mercy on me.
Amen.
Let us pray together.
Our Lord says it is more than enough, together small, as long as we love deeply. May the love of God enfold us. May the peace of Christ surround us. May the power, the inspiration, the encouragement, and the joy of the Spirit be in us and among us. Amen.